Tonight, we discuss Prank Week. Who will get a pie in the face, and will Nicole ever be able to cream Mickey? Also, we discuss Holly's HOH, America's Prankster, and the veto. With Christy and Nick on the block, which one of us will go home without a team? Will it be Adam or Alex? But first, welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to But First. I am Adam, and unfortunately I'm not joined by Fatty, and it's a mystery. And Faye is screaming into his microphone right now trying to do a Fatty imitation, but I haven't unmuted them yet, so it's to no avail. But anyway, yeah, Fatty is, I don't know where he is.
Hi.
Now you're not muted.
Okay.
But we did call and check on Fatty because, you know, you should always check on the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered the phone. He answered the phone but said he was unavailable and wasn't going to be able to join us. So my first thought was gentleman caller, but then there could be many other things. So I shouldn't accuse Fatty of that. But anyway, Fatty is unavailable this evening. We're sad by that. But I am joined by Faye Driver. Hello.
Hello, sir. How are you this evening?
I am good. I'm a little bit, I'll give a little bit of a personal story after I introduce everyone, but I'm a little frustrated. Alex, also, hello.
If you need a release.
Hello, right. Gentlemen. So happy to be, I missed you all last week. I'm happy to be back. So much to discuss.
And I was about to say, Alex, who, when we first joined the call, we couldn't understand a word he was saying because of his internet, and he literally moved 2 feet in his condo or house or whatever, and all of a sudden the internet was fine. And then, as I said, as I was introducing him, he was frozen. So anyway, but we heard you, so hopefully it'll be good. Anyway, hello, welcome. We're glad to have you back. We missed you last week.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be back, and I'm hoping my internet goes well. My sleeping husband is in the bedroom that has the best internet, but we'll make do here in my living room for tonight.
Huh. The bedroom has the best internet. I mean,
it has the best, a lot of things.
There are lots of comments that I could make about that, but
all right.
Anyway, and we are also joined by Chris from Tennessee, who could be bothered. Hi, Chris.
Yes, I almost threw my 10-year-old iMac through the window, but I'm here. So good to see you, gentlemen.
Good to see you as well. I think we need to take some donations to buy Chris a computer of some sort.
Well, this is the thing. As anybody who follows me on Twitter, which I don't recommend, but as anybody who does knows, I've been toying with the idea of starting a podcast. And so really right now, the only things that's contingent on is A, buying a new computer, and B, buying a mixer. And I need to talk to Adam at some point about mixers. So just know that question is coming.
I've always been meaning to put a page. And there may at some point have been a page on Pride48.com listing like cheap, medium, expensive, like options for like a podcasting setup, because I get that question. But I would be happy to help you. I'd be happy to
help you. Thank you.
On my personal journal podcast, I have talked about I want to set up a way for people who are starting podcasts or who don't want to host their podcast anymore, are tired of using services like Libsyn or whatever, to be able to create a site with Pride 48 and host their podcast on Pride 48. And I've been going through all weekend, and I thought, oh, no big deal, because I switched to WordPress. I mean, this is way too technical, but for some people. But I switched to WordPress, and they have a multi-site thing, so you can set up a network. And you can create like a site that would be like, for instance, my podcast, geekygay.pride48.com, for instance. And then that would lead to a completely separate site, and that would have, and there are plugins you can use to create a podcast in WordPress. It's super simple. That's what I do for this podcast. It's what I do for Geeky Gay. It's what, anyway, State of the Station, like all those I use WordPress for. And I've had a couple of people interested in that already. I've been trying to figure out how to get freaking SSL and DNS to work all weekend. But anyway, that's my personal story. So I thought I had it working this afternoon and like everything. And I cloned pride48.com and created a new test site so I could test it all out. And I had it all up and I thought I had it all working. And I was like, woo, I got the HTTPS working. I got the, you know, DNS. I got all that working. And then we came back from playing Pokemon for an hour. And now the server is refusing to connect on a couple of the subdomain that I created.
You were playing what?
Pokemon. It was raid hour from 6 to 7.
That's a euphemism for a gay sex act even we don't talk about.
Oh, okay. Thank God. I thought it was something else.
No, it was really Pokemon. It was raid hour. So raid anyway.
Hour. I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole, but okay, carry on.
I don't know if I'm back to square one, but I'm feeling that frustration that you feel when you're working on something technical and you think you have it solved and then something happens and you don't know what. Anyway, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the life of a computer programmer, folks.
That I knew.
That's why I said it's probably too technical. Our listeners will be like, what? DNS? HTTPS? SSL? What are you talking about? I mean, I do stuff like this at work, but sort of. Anyway, anyone else have a personal story? I know that was completely enthralling for everyone to listen to.
I have a very quick one, if you'll allow me. Actually, I have three very quick things to run through. First of all, just a shout out to Mark, who apparently was asking what my and Alex Lefebvre's Twitter handles were. So, hi, Mark. Secondly, I did not warn you guys that you were all the subject of the fuck, marry, kill question I asked Big Fatty at Pride 48, because frankly, I had forgotten about that. I was a little tipsy for most of the weekend. So my apologies that I dragged all three of your good names into the mud with Fatty.
I just said it was completely unfair to include Alex in that, because he's going to get one of the good ones, either marry or fuck. I mean, he's not going to get kill from Big Fatty. So, I mean, that just puts the rest of us at a disadvantage, you know, having to compete with his greatness. That was my problem.
Oh, God. I appreciate that. That's a nice boost to my ego, but it did make me laugh. I was listening on my vacation with my parents in Provincetown, and it was nice to hear my name on that. I did not expect to be brought in. So,
okay, wait. Now I have to take a little sidetrack. You take your parents on a vacation to Provincetown?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing it for like, I don't know, about 8 years now. So my husband and I go with my parents. We all split a house. And we go to a dog-friendly house so their dog can come. It used to be our dogs, too. It's lovely.
That's the straightest, gayest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. So the third thing is the actual personal story part of my personal story. I just need to tell you guys that two nights ago, I had a dream. And all of you guys were in it. Fatty was in it. A lot of our Pride 48 friends were in it. But the person who played a starring role in my dream was Mr. Alex Lefebvre. And here's the basic scenario. For some reason, I was dressed up in drag, which I have never done before. And I went to a theater performance, and everyone in the audience and everyone in the cast was also dressed in drag. And it was a drag rendition, the entire cast in drag, of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And the musical director for the show was Mr. Alex Lefebvre, and it was a wonderful performance. So thank you for conducting the music in my dreams.
I'm thrilled to hear that. Hopefully some producer out there hears that too and wants to give me a job. I'll take it.
Lovely.
Was I playing trumpet in the orchestra or...
I don't quite remember that part. It's a little fuzzy. I just know that you were there.
I don't know if there's a trumpet in that show, but... If there is, I'll be there.
You may have been playing the skin flute.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like I have not seen that show or that movie seen it. But the previews that are the trailers and various things that I've seen, it doesn't look like it would be a trumpet show.
It's not.
It looks more like rock or like, yeah. I don't know, like guitars and I don't know, synthesizers and things like that is what it seems like. So
yeah.
Hedwig is one of those shows that I fell in love with the movie, but I've also seen it on Broadway and in a community theater production, and it's good wherever you see it.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Broadway production. I saw Michael C. Hall, who plays Dexter.
Nice. I got to see Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh yeah, he was the original for the Broadway.
All right, Archer. Fade. Yes,
Archer is currently watching, someone is currently watching 6 Feet Under with Michael C. Hall. I don't recall. I thought it was Archer, but maybe not.
I don't know.
And Archer's not here because why not, Archer? What are you doing?
Well, maybe he's watching 6 Feet Under.
Well, probably.
Oh, one other bit of news before we get started, or Faye has a personal story. Great British Baking Show has started again for the year. It's on Netflix. And I just want to let everyone know. Well, I mean, in the UK, it's going on right now as well. Netflix has done something weird this time. They're playing it along with England. So it airs like on Tuesday nights in England, and then they're releasing it on Netflix on Friday or something like that. So instead of being able to binge it, you have to go every week when they release it and watch the new episode. So there you go. But it's
how
up to
are those
date.
Millennials going to get by?
Well, they can wait until it's over. I don't know.
I suppose.
All right.
Have you ever met a millennial who wanted to wait for anything?
I don't know.
Okay, so my personal story is when we set up these meets about when we're going to record, what night, what time, Moose P always emails, but I can never see what he's emailing because he's writing in invisible ink.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. Moose P is so angry at us that he sent me his notes, but they were all just charred pieces of paper. So I've had to make my own notes. So we won't be using.
I don't know if he was telling us he wasn't going to be available because I also just got blank email. So I don't know what they said.
I think you've done something to upset him.
Maybe if you just try to select the white space, maybe he's just typing in a white font.
Right. Well, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Do that. I got that. Then yeah. Well. Anyways, Moose, we're thinking about you.
That's very Nancy Drew of you, Adam.
Well, I can't be bothered. It would have been more Nancy Drew if I had actually done it. But I just thought about it as I was sitting here. So,
okay, well, let's get started. We're going back to Wednesday.
Did Alex have a personal story? I'm sorry.
No. I've been on vacation all week. It's been great.
Oh, yeah. He's had a horrible life. He's been traveling and driving and watching Hot Men on the Beach, probably.
That sounds right.
In the mirror.
What? Oh, what happened on Wednesday?
Okay.
Nope.
It's day 66.
Nobody can hear me. I have the worst internet.
It's day 66 in the Big Brother house. The nominations by Holly have been Nick gets nominated. And, of course, it's prank week. So the prankster, being Nick, nominates Christy. Nick got pied in the diary room, thinking he was immune because he was in the diary room. I quite like that. And then Nicole, as was mentioned in the teaser at the beginning of the show tonight, Nicole wants revenge because she's not been able to get Mickey with a pie in the face.
Yeah, I don't remember which episode that was most prevalent in. I remember during the veto competition, was it veto or was it HOH? I think it was veto. During the veto competition, when they pick the names for the veto, then I think that's one of those meetings they have where they're all in the room. They came over and said, "All right, everybody's gonna you guys are gonna make pies, and you're all gonna." Pie,
yeah, it was the veto. It was the veto holder's announcement. I'm going to use the veto. I'm not going to use the veto, and so that we can't say who that is just yet. You got to wait.
Right.
Okay. So they're they're choosing for the veto, and Holly puts her hand in the veto, whatever, the mixed bag of names, and it's all filled with honey or something. So everybody has to dig into the big honey pot to pick out a name to choose who the veto players are. So Holly picks Mickey because it's a house guest choice. Nick picks Cliff out of the bucket, and Christy picks Jessica. And it's Zingbot Day today, so the Zingbot comes. Does anybody have any? Do you want me to tell you what the primary zings were for each person?
Yeah, you can, but I will say this. I don't really ever find the Zingbots stuff to be funny. I'm just like, eh. They're always just so-so to me, and I felt the same way about this one. I'm like, eh, you know, but...
Well, there were a couple of good ones. I see Chris just Chris wants to say something. Come on, Chris.
No, I'm holding my tongue.
Okay. All right. Well, we go on with the Zingbot, who starts out by saying you're a bunch of fucking losers on the air. Anybody recall that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They bleeped the
game. Yeah, but they bleeped it.
They didn't have. Yeah.
All right, well, Tommy gets the Little Shop of Attention whores. Nicole is afraid of birds, especially the old buzzard. We thought it was going to be Cliff, but it's actually the old buzzard, Holly. Christy got zinged for her loud chewing. Nick got zinged for his bowl cut, his day one haircut.
And I don't think he got that. Because he just responded by saying, yeah, I do need a haircut right now. That was his response. Like, he didn't even get that they were, at least it didn't seem that he knew that they were talking about when he came in the house, he had this bowl cut. He was just like thinking they meant he needed a haircut, which he was like, yeah, you're right. I do need a haircut. I was like, you dummy. They're not saying you need a haircut.
That was probably the best one of the bunch, in my opinion, was the one for Nick.
Nicole got no, I can't read my own writing.
Well, they basically said it must be really, it must have been really hard for you to have no friends,
no boyfriend,
and something else. And then they say, oh, wait a minute, you must feel right at home.
That's correct. That's what it was. Cliff, it's a bit of a turn on words. They think they're talking about voluptuous and busty people. And Jessica thinks she's going to get zinged, but the Zingbot zings Cliff.
And then did you notice when he lifted his shirt, they blurred his tits? I'm like, why?
I did that.
I'm like, you're a man. We don't.
It was a joke.
Well, yeah, because later he had his shirt off and they showed his nipples, but... And that one, they blurred it.
That's the only zing I didn't like. I mean, I'm not into the body shaming jokes, but that's because I'm the fat ass of our little group. So anyway, go ahead.
Jessica got a snooze fest zing, which I didn't quite get. Well, I mean, she's pretty unremarkable, so maybe that's why.
They were just saying that's how her game has been, that she hasn't really played much of a game. That's what they were talking about.
They had nothing else to say about her. There's nothing funny or remarkable to say about her. She's barely been on the TV. So what are they going to say?
Yeah. And Mickey got the pompous douchebag, which was very apropos. All
right, yeah, I just thought it was on. I just thought it was too on the nose, though. I mean, yes, he is. But I just wanted something more clever. I mean, they basically just said, you're a jerk. You know, I mean, there wasn't really anything funny about it. It was just saying the obvious that everyone else is saying at home, you know.
But and we'll talk. I'd like to talk about this a little more when we get to the veto, the vote, and the exit of the person who got voted out. All right, so we get through the whole Zingbot thing, and then we get to this great game, the Zing Attentiary, The Zing Penitentiary? I can't even say it.
Penitentiary.
Penitentiary. That's right. Now I don't know how to say it either. You're confusing me.
Well, they
me.
Called it penitentiary, the Zingatentiary.
So it's that same game they have every year where there's these vertical walls that have holes in them, and then they have this pipe at the bottom with ropes, and they put a ball on the pipe, and they have to negotiate the pipe up and down and sideways and stuff to get the balls in the hole. I think they have a similar one on Survivor.
I would just like to say, if Big Fatty was here and you said all those words, there would be a...
I wish I had captured a screenshot of Faye's face when you were doing that.
Well, actually, depending on what Fatty's doing right now, there may be some of that going on anyway. Who knows?
Totally.
Balls and holes.
Can we just talk about the poor actor who had to play the space cop who comes flying in the door wearing the stupid helmet and falls, and he has to do all these.
And he's the same guy that played Brett's grandmother that then played the part earlier, Jack's friend. So he's gotten a lot of work off of Big Brother.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Are we sure he's the same guy? Because this guy looked like he had a much thinner face than the grandmother
it's
guy.
The guy.
Or the
it's
alien.
The guy.
Okay.
I would make a wager on that. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the best thing about Big Brother is that guy. Anyway, so we go through the veto competition. Free the Zing. The Zingbot's trapped up in whatever the jail there. Mickey is killing it because his strategy was very smart, I think, the way that he attacked this game. Comments?
Yeah, he started at the top, which were the hardest ones, and I think that was smart.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as much as I don't want to give him unnecessary praise, I think that was a very slick way to play that. So.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. But then every time he wins a competition, he says to himself, oh, I shouldn't have won that. I should have, like, why can't he just, what is the wrong with this guy that he can't just let somebody else win something? Like, that was a good competition between him and Nick. And, I mean, I can understand why he wouldn't want Nick to win it. But, like, he's really painting a target on himself.
Mm. Why do you think... This is not what we're talking about at the moment, but since we're talking about him not wanting Nick to win, why do we think that Holly and Mickey want Nick to go home so bad and not Christy? Do we not feel that Christy is a bigger threat than Nick?
I agree.
Maybe, but Christy doesn't win anything, though. She's not able to win the physical. She's not able to win the mental. So it's kind of like Nick might have the opportunity to win something and put them up. I actually don't think that they think Christy stands a chance at winning anything. So,
plus she's got one HOH under her belt.
Pledged her allegiance. Well, the first one, that's true. But
she keeps getting herself. She's been nominated now 4 times by the end of this week, and she keeps getting herself off the block. Like, she's really is actually a good, she's playing a good game.
She's my team member.
I wouldn't even call it a social game. I don't really know how to describe. She has a very good psychological game because when her back's against the wall, she's able to either make people mad enough, freak them out, put the target on someone else, make enough turmoil in the house that I don't know. She just always manages to sneak her way out of getting, you know, voted off. I mean, we're not there yet, but I mean, she will have been on the block multiple weeks in a row, you know, and has not been taken off. I don't think. I think she's been on the block when it came time to vote, and somehow she's wrangled votes to, you know, to stay. But so I would see her as a much bigger threat than Nick. And I just didn't understand that at all. Why all of a sudden, and it appeared to be what Christy said last week, where she got everyone riled up and was saying, oh, you know, Nick's a big threat. He's playing a horrible, you know, dirty game, and you guys need to get him out. And it seemed like everybody just took that hook, line, and sinker and like believed it. And now everybody thinks Nick, you know, is the enemy number one. But
well, Nick was the enemy number one a couple of weeks ago, and then he somehow managed to pull himself out of that hole. But now, well, we're about to find out, Faye, what happened, right?
I think that was more because of Bella, though. And I don't remember. I have a bad memory, so maybe it was Nick. But I seem to recall Bella was the one that was getting into trouble all the time. And Nick was just kind of a bad guy because he was in a relationship with her. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, well, Nick and Mickey battle it out with this this competition with the pipe and the balls and the holes. Mickey wins, so whatever. And then after this competition, Nick and Mickey are talking, and Nick tells Mickey that he's the prankster, and he tells Tommy too. And all of a sudden, I think Nick realizes he should have maybe been more vocal about telling people that he was the prankster. Does anyone have any thoughts on this?
I do. I got very distracted by the fact that both Mickey and Tommy were touching Nick's knee. Did y'all see that? That they were both having this like very suggestive touch on his leg during their conversations.
I remember it now that you say it. It wasn't something that I guess stuck out in my mind. But yeah, they were touching his knee for sure. Now that you mention it.
And he was, Nick was laying there on the bed, like splayed out with his legs hanging off the corner of the bed.
They were.
I would have been touching his knee too.
I don't know. I just think that, you know, I mean, Nick did not put Mickey up. Now, I don't know if that is a sign of allegiance or it's just that he thought he had a better chance against Christy. I don't know. But he made a good argument there. He's like, look, I proved my allegiance to you unseen. You didn't even know, but I could have put you up and I didn't, you know. And maybe it was too late for him to be bringing. I mean, maybe he should have gone to Mickey and said, hey, before any of this, and said, hey, you know, by the way, I could have put you up and I didn't. So, you know, you may want to think about that when you're deciding who you and Holly want to go home, since you guys are the power couple. And he didn't. And then after the veto competition, then he's like, oh, by the way, and maybe it was too late at that point. I mean, I don't know. It may not have made a difference anyway, but he probably should have told him sooner. I don't think it puts a target on his back for people to know that he was prankster. I mean, he put Christy. Maybe it does.
It would make me think later, like, well, why are you telling me afterwards, after I just won the veto? You didn't tell me before. That makes me think that you were holding in your back pocket that you were going to put me up. And now that you haven't put me up, you're like, oh, well, I could have put you up and I didn't. So that would make me look at him with a side eye.
Chris, do you have any thoughts on any of this?
No, I don't think I do.
All right.
I feel like it's just me against Alex in this week, because it's our two team members against each other on the block, and I just keep throwing Christy under the bus. But the other thing I want to say is, why is no one paying attention to the fact that Christy and Tommy are so tight, and they're just, they need to get rid of one of them? Like, I don't understand, like, why. I mean, and I like Tommy. I mean, Christy, you know, whatever. But I mean, I really like Tommy. But the fact that they're not seeing that they're a couple, I mean, they're even seeing it. They've even said multiple times, they refer to Tommy, Christy, Holly, Mickey, and now they're referring to Nicole and Cliff as like a couple. So the house members see them as a couple, but for some reason, they're not, I don't know. Like, Tommy, no one ever puts Tommy up, you know.
The gameplay that's been happening here from the HOHs is they're all trying to play this game where you're not really my enemy, I'm just putting you up because I don't have a choice. I really, really love you, but I'm not stabbing you in the back, but you got to go up because I don't have any other choice.
Right.
Well, I will say, I don't know if I said this in that episode, but I don't like Mickey. However, his HOH week, I thought he handled very well. And his reasons for putting up who he put up, I thought were valid. And he wasn't mean to anyone. He didn't give like a negative derogatory speech or anything like that. He just said, you know, this is before. I mean, and the same
Okay, not this week.
Not this week, week. His week that he was HOH, the week before. And then Holly, I mean, she hasn't been mean or negative or anything like that. They just had a reason. So even though I don't like them, I feel like they've handled their HOHs well. You know.
Well, I mean, you're down to now 7 or 8 people or whatever it is. How many votes were there? 6 votes plus 2 or 3. So there's 9 people in the house. I think it's slimy that they're putting people up and saying, oh, you're just a pawn. I don't really want you out. When really they do. And this is what I think makes this season a little bit lame, because no one is saying, you're my enemy and I want you out. Nobody has the balls to say, you're a threat to me and I got to get you out.
I'll agree with that, Faye. I have to say, honestly, this week was boring to me. I didn't feel like there were a lot of high stakes. I felt like we are missing some of the excitement from previous weeks. And I think it's because there are all these deals. It seemed very predictable. Who was going to go up? Who was going to go home? I didn't feel very shocked by anything that happened this week.
Yeah, there's just a lot of whining. Christy whining and Nick whining.
Why am I bowing up? What do I have to do with?
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, I think Christy's not... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think Christy's not a threat. I think that Christy is somebody that they see as, well, we can keep her around another week. She's not going to really do anything. And I think Tommy is well-liked. He's the JC of this season. People enjoy cuddling with him. They find him fun. They also think that, you know, maybe he might work with them. So I think that's why those two have been untouched, because they think Christy will be easy to get out the door, and they enjoy Tommy and think that he could potentially vote with them.
Okay. All right. It's time to move on to the Thursday night, the live episode with Julie coming.
Now, did we say, so Mickey won.
Mickey won the veto.
And then he did not use it.
The veto. Correct.
We didn't that's say true. That. So he kept nominations the same.
Correct. All right. So it's voting out night, and Julie live show. Julie has managed to find the proper closet to choose.
What do we think about her hair, Chris? Do we have a hair
lovely,
comment?
Lovely. She's a beautiful woman who can look as youthful as she wants to, and we all support that. She's lovely.
That was,
yes.
As you pointed out, Chris, that was actually Alex's comment on Twitter. It wasn't
yours.
Yes,
it was. I took heat for Alex's comment.
Wait a second. No, I listened to this in Provincetown. That's not true. That was not my comment on Twitter. I did not do that. So
who said she was
back.
Trying to look too young? Who said that?
I want
to
see the receipt. Right. I believe it was Archer. I'm going to throw Archer under the bus.
Let me move my receipts. Hang on.
But yes, I'll say tonight, while you're looking, and then I'll give you a minute to talk once you find the particular tweet, but I'll say, if we said that she was trying to look young last week, I felt like the hair this week was kind of matronly. I thought it was much older. So she went from like a younger hairstyle to an older hairstyle, I felt. Because that the way she had it all kind of in a bun or something on the back made me think like school marm or something. But you know, it's fine. Do whatever you want. But I thought it was like one extreme to the other. Basically,
I felt that the hair and the dress were age appropriate. She is a 40 or 50-ish woman.
Oh, I hate that word.
She should look like the woman she is and be proud of who she is at her age. Speaking from the 52-year-old.
But I don't think you need to age appropriate is a bad couple of words to me, because I think no matter what age you are, you should be able to dress however you want. If you want to look like that, fine. But I don't want to say, oh, it's good she had her hair like that, because that was much more age appropriate than last week. I mean, it's like shaming people for how they want to wear their hair or dress. You don't have to dress a certain way you get older.
Chris, are you coming to my defense?
Let me I need, on behalf of myself and Adam, I need to offer an apology to Alex Lefebvre. It is, in fact, Archer that we need to throw under the bus. Archer is the one who said, I thought the same thing, meaning that her hair was awful, which is just what I said. And he said, wild hair. My husband says she's trying to be younger and younger looking.
So it's actually his husband.
His husband that we need to throw under the bus. I don't know Archer's husband, so we can do that. Well, I apologize, Adam.
I don't want to internalize Archer's husband's comments, but I'm going to wear my baseball cap until the day I die. I'm sorry. If that's not age appropriate, I don't give a fuck. So everyone can just get off it. Anyway.
Oh. Well, while we're on the topic of Julie Chen Moonves, I do want to give her props for her sequence, that open sequence where she does the walk, the talk and the walk, and the dolly shot of the camera. And she's walking and she's looking into the camera and she hits her mark and they cut to another, like a full-on shot. That is amazing, the way that she is able to do that. I don't know how she does it, but that is some high skill on the part of a TV presenter to be able to do that dolly shot and walk and chat, and it was amazing.
Well, she's been doing it for appropriate walk.
Okay, well, let's get started here. This is the voting out episode. So this is where we get a lot of the diary room shots. Holly's talking. She's got her cum shot lips on. Did anyone notice the high gloss lips? No.
No. Ooh. Oh, no. Sorry.
I don't know, but I'll just say this. This is always the episode of the week where they try to convince us the person who is getting voted out is actually the one that's going to stay. So they spent the whole episode trying to convince us that somehow Nick was going to wrangle his way out of it. And then of course the whole house. Anyway, I'm jumping way ahead, but it's just, they spend the whole episode showing us little things. Oh, maybe he'll swing, you know, somebody. Oh, Nicole's on his side. Oh, Nicole's going to go off and campaign for Nick, you know, with Holly. And she's going to tell Holly, you know, Holly, I don't know if it's a good idea for us to vote Nick out. I think Christy's a much bigger threat. And, you know, they spend the whole episode trying to, you know, prove to us that Nick's going to somehow manage to, you know, stay. I also found something else interesting. Everyone, both Nick and Christy, as I think it's happened the past few weeks, both the people on the block feel safe. Like, you know, Nick's saying the whole time, oh, I've got the votes. It's not going to be a big deal, you know, whatever. And then, you know, and he doesn't, I think later someone says something and he's like, oh,
Tommy.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not going to vote? And then he gets worried. But he's so confident that he's got the votes. And the same with Christy. She's so confident, you know, that she's going to have the votes to stay or whatever. I feel like it's been that way for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Both people on the block have been like, oh, I've got the votes, you know, until like the day of, you know, until the day they're doing eviction.
When the whole house votes the same way.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to belabor this. You've basically said everything. You've given us all the substance of this entire episode, except for the scary clowns.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't care for that. I thought that was dumb.
See, I think they need to do some more of that. I think they need to, like, in the middle, like, 3 in the morning when it's dark, they need to, like, turn the light on in the mirror and, like, have some horrible, like, scary and, you know, like, freak them out. I mean, I think that would be
tapping
some good
on the
content.
Glass.
Yeah.
It wasn't scary. Like, they showed up, and then finally, like, 2 minutes later, somebody noticed it, and then they all came in screaming as if some producer said, "You need to be scared of this," you know?
Right.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see the jury house this episode. We went to see Jack sitting around by himself playing volleyball. And
you know,
Marco Polo sure was
flirty with Kat. And then Annalise comes in the next week, and then all of a sudden he's back to Annalise. I'm wondering how flirty he was with Kat, you know.
I turned my video off so you could get a real good audio on this one. So this is not the first time that this has happened to poor Kat, that she came in as the hot little number and then played second fiddle to Annalise. And I would have loved to have seen a real jury house episode where you could see where Kat got dumped for Annalise the second time around. That would have been a really good show. But we didn't see that.
No. I can bet that somebody was getting their tinky winky wet, I'll say. For the first week. Or the second week, I guess.
Mm.
I mean, they're perfect for each other. They're all perfect for each other.
Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe they're having a big threesome. Maybe they have a threesome, yeah. Who knows? Could be.
Yeah, why the hell not? I'd do it.
They're all pretty, all three of them, so, you know.
Okay, so we get through the whole Annalise and the Kat and the Jack, whatever. They relive the game. They hang out and they play golf, whatever. All right, here we go. We're going to go to the vote. The speeches. Christy gives a very long-winded speech about the 4 life principles. Be impeccable. Don't assume anything. Don't take anything personally. I almost swallowed my tongue on that one. And do your best. I'm not perfect, but please keep me. And Nick says, go get help if you are mentally unstable. Was he talking to her when he said that? I'm not
No.
Sure.
He's a psychiatrist, or he's a therapist of some
a
sort.
Therapist,
so,
yeah.
But it honestly sounded like he had given up and knew he was going to be the one to go. He didn't campaign at all in the speech. And she did, even though I assume she knew how the votes were going to go as well. The other interesting thing is Mark usually picks out that there's generally one that's dressed
Hi,
up
Mark.
A little bit more. And that's the one generally that goes home. But this one, they were both dressed as if they were going to do the next competition. So maybe Big Brother has like caught on to that, because like last week it was the same. They were both dressed up. But there have been times where you could look at the shoes they were wearing or like some part of the outfit and determine who was going home. But it was not. They were both dressed for the competition in this one.
Okay. Well, we get the votes, and it's pretty much it's a unanimous vote. Nick gets voted out, 6-0. And away he goes. He goes out, he talks to Julie. And did anybody notice his eyebrows? He has these very strange eyebrows, as though someone has taken a Bic razor and shaved the center of his eyebrows. They're just like completely... There's a bald spot in between his two eyebrows.
And he may have done that. You know? Right? I mean, he's definitely your straight guy. Like, there's some clip on the internet of him humping Tommy, and Tommy's like, "Do you think guys like this, that you just come up and hump them, dry hump them?" And Nick's like, "What?" Very lost. There's this whole like really? YouTube about handsy Nick, so, and being inappropriate, I guess, But he looks kind of a mess to me. And when he was in his diary confessions, he always lifted up his eyebrows to make him look constipated, is what I thought. Like, he really had to go to the bathroom. But I also found him oddly very, very sexy. We always thought he had a big dick. And I think that it's sad to see him. Yeah, it's sad to see him go. I think he was a fun player on this. And I watched his extended interview with Julie. And he basically like pledged his allegiance to Nicole. He said that that was his ride or die. But that he is really in awe of Holly and Mickey's game, and he thinks that one of them should win for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I disagree completely, because that side of the house has had the power the entire time, right? With minor exceptions.
Right.
Well, I'm disappointed in everyone else in the game, every single other person, because they're all just trying to glam on to Holly and Mickey now. They all wanted them gone 3 weeks ago. And now that Holly and Mickey are doing so well, they're just like, oh, we want to be in an alliance with you. Oh, we want to do this. No one is getting any balls and trying to get them out. Instead, they're all trying to make deals with them. And why are you going to make a deal with them? Because if you go to the end with either one of them, they've played such a good game at this point, you're not going to win. So why is no one trying to get them out? Sorry.
Well, my girl Christy is trying to get them out. She said at the end of tonight's episode, she said that she's trying to get, if she gets wins HOH, she's going to kick out Holly and Mickey. So,
well, and I'm mainly, and we haven't gotten there yet, but we haven't gotten there yet, but I'm particularly annoyed with Cliff and Nicole, because I didn't realize that they had a final four, like a real final four, with Holly and Mickey until the episode tonight. And that disappoints
me.
Well, I knew they had had some conversations, but I didn't know they had a real, like, sticking for real, true final four.
Agree.
And then when I heard that tonight and Mickey was like, nope, I can't, you know, whatever. And we'll get into that. But I was like, well, damn, you know, why are you two? There is no way you guys are going to win against it. Why are you making a final four with it? Like, I don't know.
Well, because they have no choice, because they've had the power the entire time. And their other team players are useless. Everybody else in the game is hopeless.
I just feel that everyone is handing the game to Holly and Mickey at this point. But anyway. But
Chris, you're making all kinds of facial expressions.
I know, this isn't a video podcast.
Well, no, I have to correct what I was going to say. I was going to say that both Nicole and Cliff are useless. But actually, you know, Cliff, obviously, he was on a streak there for a hot minute. So Cliff can win things under the right circumstances. But Nicole's just useless. So she doesn't have a strategy except to glom onto somebody. So Why not Holly and Mickey?
And maybe Cliff's excuse was he's been injured, and they haven't made a big deal out of it, but I know we discussed the fact that he was injured. So the fact that all these competitions, or a lot of the competitions, have been physical ones recently, maybe Cliff just couldn't, you know, felt like there's no way I can win these competitions. So I have to, I don't know. I just feel like the game is being handed to those two at the moment, unless Christy wins, or maybe Tommy, because I think Tommy is starting to realize that, he and Christy are both kind of realizing, oh, maybe Mickey and Holly don't have a final with us. Maybe they have a final with Nicole and Cliff. So maybe, because I feel like Tommy and Christy could work their way back up into more of a power couple status if they play right. You know, so.
Well, here's a question for everybody. Do you think that they choose some of these competitions on the fly and they say, well, we're going to pick a veto that we think X, Y, or Z could win, or we're going to pick an HOH competition that potentially somebody could do better in to flip it a little bit? Because we had to have an interesting season that the power has shifted back and forth across the house a little bit, and that new alliances have been formed. Like, do you think that they might rig it so that a Christy could win or a Tommy could win, or do a mental competition instead of a physical competition? Do we think that that's a possibility?
I think so. I mean, definitely reality shows always do stuff like that. So I can't speak specifically to Big Brother, but I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
I disagree. I don't think you can have, I think you have a lineup of competitions scheduled from the start of the show, because you have set builders and you got to build these things and get these things set up into place, and you have piping and spraying and ghosts flying through the air and all this stuff. And I don't think you can say, oh, we're going to scrap the super complicated, you know, goop spraying blasters and do a different competition so that we can get a different winner.
I think that's the one thing in my mind that would keep them from switching things up at the last minute is those things are just so complicated, the sets they build, and they've got to be testing those off-site to make sure they work. So it's hard to imagine that, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I also just want to, while we're talking about this, I want to get a plug in for Cliff, because I really think Cliff has been playing the best game possible under this superpower mega, you know, 9 people, 8 people, 6-1, group of 6-1, group of 6-2, all of these huge alliances that have been happening. And Cliff has been sort of weathering the storm for this entire time. And I think Cliff makes smart moves and builds alliances with people who are in power. So I think he's doing the best. And I certainly hope he wins America's favorite player, because he's my favorite player.
I think he probably will. He's in the running for that for sure. He probably will, is my guess.
And he's so charming because we saw in Sunday's episode that he was dancing with his wife, you know, and he wants to renew his vows. And that's all pulling at the heartstrings of America.
Perhaps okay. So.
All right. So let's talk about this HOH with the hanging off the edge of this scary haunted house, and they have the water spraying down and
who didn't wager at the beginning of the competition, Jessica's going to be the first out. I mean, who didn't go, Oh, Jessica's going, you know,
and in such a dramatic fashion.
Oh yeah.
They kept replaying that.
Screaming.
Covering right. his face. Yeah.
Jessica goes down at 24 minutes.
Oh wait, we didn't describe it. So they have a front of a haunted house. They're all hanging on to the shutters or the boards that have boarded up the windows on this haunted house. And it's the same game they replay several times during the season, where the thing tilts forward and they have to hold on, and then they spray water on them. They have something that hits them upside the head or something. And the difference in this one was it was ghosts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the same apparatus. They just put a sheet over it or what, you know, I mean, it's just different. But now what I thought would have been really interesting and really funny, because they were doing all this clown stuff trying to scare people, if they had rigged it so that someone could actually stand behind those windows, mm-hmm. and creep around and then go up behind one of them and go, boo! Or, you know, something like that, like really loud, like scare. And you know that would knock a couple of people off, because it would scare them so bad they would lose their grip. Anyway, I thought that would have been hilarious, but...
But for the sake of a competition, they would have had to make sure that they did it exactly the same way at exactly the same time for all the competitors.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
It would have been seen as unfair if they didn't do every single one of them all at once. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about that. It sure would have been funny, though.
Yeah. I was thinking, actually, as I watched it, that the biggest twist of Prank Week would have been if Jessica would have been made the HOH. If they would have said the biggest prank is the person who got off first becomes the HOH, right. And you guys are the suckers just for holding on. Like some real big twist for Prank Week, but mm-hmm. Oh well.
Okay, so Jessica falls first at 24 minutes. Cliff fell at 41 minutes. Christy goes down at 42 minutes. Nicole hangs in for 49 minutes. She was really looking good there for a while. I thought maybe this would be her competition. She'd finally win something. And then there was a shootout between, I guess, Mickey and Tommy. And in the end, douchebag, what did they call him?
Pompous douchebag. This is where we start to realize for sure that the final four between Mickey and Holly and Nicole and Cliff is real, because they make a point to have several diary rooms where Mickey is saying, well, I don't want to win this one, but I have a, you know, I can't let Tommy go up because I've got to protect Nicole and Cliff and make sure they don't go on the block. And then Tommy
is... But that's
is,
so strange. Why? It seems very bizarre to me that he would want to protect those two. Can someone explain this to me? Why is this so important?
They have this final four. All of a sudden, they have this final four that supersedes anything else, that any other deals that he and Holly have made. For some reason, now Cliff and Nicole are the final four. I don't know when that happened. Because they had deals with Christy and Tommy at some point, you know, they had, but all of a sudden, like, Nicole and Cliff are their final four. Like, they've, that's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, I've got to win.
Play for them. I think it's really good gameplay because Nicole and Cliff have done not a lot. So they're kind of unlikable, and they're the villains of the season, Holly and Mickey, but up against those two for winning the whole thing, you have to give it to them. They've run the game.
I mean, right,
that's
true.
That's a good point.
But I feel like the stupid move is Tommy, because I don't think Tommy was, he gave up. Like, he was tired and like he was starting to shake and stuff like that. But I think he had a little bit longer in him. And Mickey turned to him and said, you're good, you're good, you're good. But I think the problem, and Tommy even said, they did a little diary room with Tommy where he said, oh, well, I know this is not good for Christy, but I really have to look out for myself. And Mickey said that I was safe. So, you know, I went ahead and basically dropped. And it was obvious that he just dropped. He didn't, it's not like he lost his footing. He's like, okay, you're not going to vote me out. I'm dropping. But it's stupid because he and Christy are kind of like, he doesn't really have a deal per se with Holly and Mickey. And what is he going to do if Christy goes home and then Nick's gone and he doesn't have a deal with anybody else? And he's a strong player, has a really good social game. Why are you going to give up HOH when, I don't know. I thought that was a dumb move.
I think it's because he thinks that he could get HOH next week. It was his thing. Because then he's got Mickey out of the competition for running for next week. So he could do it then. That was my thought. But
yeah, that's what Chris? He said. But I don't know if that's worth it. I mean, I would have tried. I mean, I would have kept going. I wouldn't have given up.
Chris, you have a comment?
Well, yeah, even though I don't quite agree with Faye and Alex about, you know, that everybody's too nice and, you know, they need to call out their enemies more. One of the things I do miss is at least the possibility that somebody goes for a good old fashioned backstabbing where they promise somebody that, oh, I'll keep you safe if you drop out of this comp, but then they turn around and stab them. That we just don't have that dynamic at this point at all. So, I mean, that's the part of it that I would agree that, that would at least add some drama at this point, which they sorely need.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay. I know. I never feel like I would make deals in a competition. I feel like I would go in saying, look, guys, I'm going to try my best no matter what. So you can say that you're going to make a deal with me, but my goal for myself is I'm not going to choose to drop out of a competition. Like, I'm going to not, no offense to anyone else, if I'm in an alliance with you or whatever, but I want to do the best job I can at every single competition. And there's no way I'm going to make a deal with someone because they could do exactly what Chris said. They could just turn right around and go like, sorry, dude, we're at the end. I got to put somebody up and you're a big target. You know,
we've seen it happen so many times over the years. This year, no, but you don't know when somebody will decide to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to say that I don't understand Tommy's game at all, because now he's realizing that Christy is a liability. And he's been talking about, I don't know if I should be aligning myself with her. She's a bit of a whack job and she's a target and blah, blah, blah. And he keeps making promises to people like Nick and somebody else, Aquaman Jack. I'm yours. And he votes them out. So he's playing a very strange game, Tommy is. And I just don't know.
He's kind of been floating around the past 3 or 4 weeks, because at first I felt like he was playing a pretty good strategic game. He was aligning with the right people and stuff like that. But you're right. He keeps saying, oh, I don't know if Christy's good for my game, but he's making it to where she's the only one he has. Like, you know, I mean, he's voting out. He could have voted out. He could have probably swayed the vote towards Christy last week. And, you know, there were several times. I mean, she's been on the block a lot. So, I mean, and he's gone against all these people. And if she's such a liability, is he just thinking, well, people will certainly vote for me to win if I'm in a final two with her. So I've just got to try to, you know, hang on. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say it on record tonight on this episode of But First that I think that Tommy will be in the top three.
Okay.
I think I agree with you, because no one ever mentions putting him up. So I don't know why, but no one ever mentions putting him up. You don't ever hear his name, like, mentioned.
Except implicitly. I mean, if Mickey and Holly stick with this final four, I mean, it's kind of implicit that they're going to pick off, you know, Jess and Christy and then the other one and then Tommy. But you're right. They don't seem eager to get at it.
Yeah. Well, I had some very strong words about Tommy at the beginning of the But First shows this season. I thought he was the worst possible gay. And he hasn't turned my opinion. I still think he's a dangerous homosexual.
Remind us, because I remember you saying that, but I don't remember your reasoning. Why are you anti-Tommy?
Because I think he's an example of the most hated gay type of person. He's a bitchy little queen, and he says, I'm going to do one thing, but he turns around and he's kind of stabs people in the back, and he's untrustworthy. He just gives me a very bad vibe, and he plays it all off as, oh, don't pay any attention to me. I'm just the vapid homosexual doing my little thing. I'm no harm, no foul. And
you and I have entirely different reads on his motivation, but that's
okay. So I don't know. I don't think you're completely wrong, Faye. I don't think he's quite as bad as you're portraying him. I will say this: of the gays, of the male gays that have been on Big Brother recently, he's probably my favorite. Like, I didn't, and there haven't been a whole lot, but I mean, if you look back at like Ariana Grande's brother, and, like, you know, I mean, that's the kind of gay that I'm like, ugh, you know, do we have to portray that gay? You know, not that we should be shaming any gay. We are gay. No. We should not be gay shaming people, but exactly. I'm saying Tommy, I like better than some of the other choices they've made. Although they do tend to choose the more stereotypical homosexuals when it comes to men to be. So they don't really show the the depth of the various
Knicks, the Knicks of the world,
you know, or whatever. You know, they don't show the other personality types that there are in the gay world. You know, they tend to pick those. But, you know, you might also say those are going to be the kind of gays that apply because they're the ones that want to be seen and, or, you know, want to have attention and all that. So,
or the kinds that make good TV. I mean, it's a TV show. So, you know,
True.
Yeah.
We should start a letter writing campaign to demand that they show older, age appropriate gays.
Age appropriate. They don't have to be old. I mean, no, I'm okay. I'm okay with what they do, but they could throw in just a, they could just throw in kind of a more run of the mill sort of, you know, I like to sit at home and not necessarily a club kid sort of gay. And I don't know. Tommy may not be. He's just a Broadway gay. We don't know. But I mean,
we need to try to get Fatty to try out for Big Brother.
Oh, you know, Fatty has put in an application every year. He just keeps it close to the chest. Okay. In the end, after the big competition here, the people hanging off the edge of the house. It is Mickey who wins the HOH, and Mickey's going after Jessica because she's such a big threat. And the ever-present Christy on the block. So this also is a little bizarre to me because I think there's much... I don't understand why he's going after Jessica. And can someone explain this?
Well, she's not in the alliance, basically.
Yeah.
And
she's not Tommy.
Tommy, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So he's keeping his word and his alliance.
Well, you know, basically, what kind of blew my mind is that Jessica, again, felt safe. Like, she's like, oh, my God. And all these people in the house that were saying, oh, Mickey's not going to put me up. I mean, several of the people were like, oh, Mickey's not. So he and Holly must be doing a great job of convincing every single person in the house that they're not the target. Because I don't know exactly who, but I just remember as I was watching the episode thinking, oh, my God, all of these people think they're safe. Again. You know, and Jessica, for sure, she was saying, oh, I'm good with Mickey. I'm so glad he won. You know, that's great for my game. You know, there's no way he's going to put me up. And then she's in the HOH room and he's like, well, Jessica, I feel like there are going to be mental competitions that are coming up next. And I think you and Christy are just the most likely to be. And she wasn't even getting it at first. Like, she didn't know what he was saying. Until he finally said...
Yeah, he basically had to say, I'm putting you on the block.
Right.
And she's like, what?
What? I'm flattered that you think I would be so good, but I suck. You don't want to...
Yeah. That was probably one of the more favorite things I've seen this season. It was Jessica realizing she's going up on the block. Okay. We get a quote from Nancy, or Nicole, saying, quote, I literally contribute nothing to this group, end quote. Comments?
While I find that level of self-awareness refreshing, it was an odd thing to say.
Well, I think that was why she was, part of the reason she was so upset that she didn't win the competition. Because, A, she wanted to start building a resume. I would say it's a little late to start building your resume. However, you know, she wanted to start building her resume. And she also wanted to show that she had some value to the other three in her final four. And she wanted to see her family as well. That's always a thing. And she said it. But, you know, I would just say it was a little late to want to start winning competitions now, you know, when you really haven't done it all this time. But it is what it is.
Okay, some other things that occurred. Cliff and Nicole and Holly and Mickey are in the HOH room talking strategy, building their little gameplay. and there are 6 watermelons in Mickey's HOH room.
You counted them.
That's what I could see. I'm sure there were possibly more. What else?
What do you think of the chances that Mickey ended up fucking a watermelon?
Oh, I'm sure it's happened. I think it's quite popular.
Who knows? I mean, I would never do that sort of thing, but I'm sure lots of guys have. I'm sure it's a thing.
That's hot. That's hot.
Yeah, no, not a watermelon, but possibly a cantaloupe. Christy is mad at Tommy for not getting the HOH, for not winning the HOH. And I think Christy is pretty aware and tuned into the other gameplay that's going on. I think she's, from what's being shown on the edits, is that Christy is starting to put things together.
Well, yeah, she basically, her and Tommy were in the room together at one point, and she said, Tommy, why do you think Holly and Mickey are not putting up Nicole and Cliff? Why are they putting up? Those would have been the perfect two to put up. She's like, you know, but instead they put me up, who they supposedly are just using as a pawn. And Jessica, like, basically to Chris and Faye, or whoever said it, I don't remember, you know, why would you put Jessica up and avoid putting up, you know, Nicole and Cliff? She's like, I bet they have, or I'm pretty sure they must have some kind of deal with them. And then Tommy goes, oh, yeah, you know, maybe you're right, you know, and then he's like, I don't know, there's some diary room where he's like, yeah, I've been thinking that too, but I don't know. I think maybe he's been thinking that after Christy said that to him. I don't know.
And also, Mickey is talking, you know, talks to Christy about, oh, I gotta put you up for various reasons. And she's going like, this is the biggest line of bullshit I've ever seen. And I bring back again my comment about, I don't understand why Jessica and Christy are going up, because they're, well, I mean, I understand why Christy, but why is Mickey putting up Jessica? It just seems like the strangest thing. The only reason being that he has this final four with Nicole and Cliff. I just don't see why. I just don't understand why Mickey thinks getting Jessica out is a good idea.
It's an idea. She's not in his alliance. It's not breaking his word, and it'll be, you know, her or Christy. Both are fine, I think, for him.
Okay.
For whatever reason, he's made a strategic decision that if he gets to the end against certainly either Cliff or Nicole and maybe even Holly, that he can beat them. Whether that's the case, who knows, but that's what he's betting his game on at this point.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the end of, Moose Peels.
Well, I feel like Tommy needs to get, I feel like Tommy really needs to figure it out, or, you know, or he's, or it's either going to be Holly or Mickey winning. I mean, at this point, if Christy's catching on and, you know, whatever, but if Tommy doesn't catch on and start doing some whatever, you know, they're going to, even, I feel like even if Tommy goes, if Holly and Mickey make it to the final three with anybody else that's in the house, I feel like Holly or Mickey are going to win at this point. They've won so many competitions. So why everyone is not taking swings at them right now, I do not understand. But Tommy, for sure, he has a really good chance of winning, but not against them. So he needs to, you know, get in there with Christy and make something happen. I don't know, but I don't know.
But I think statistically that Holly and Mickey can't continue winning. But I also think the only way they're going to get out is at the hand of Christy. And I think Christy statistically can't do four nominations and not get kicked out. So this is her last chance. If she gets herself off the block this season, then she is going to be the one who's going to sweep the house clean, get rid of the douchebag and his girlfriend and take it to the end and win. I would vote for her as much as I hate all the crying and the chewing and the New York accent.
Great. We appreciate your vote here on Team Christy Faye.
I mean, I don't know. She has not won hardly anything at all. I mean, other than that first HOH that we're not even sure that she won and wasn't right. given it. But she does have a way of twisting people's minds to get, you know. So, I mean, like I said before, at the very least, she's played a psychological some sort of game. Yeah. So
I call it psychological torture.
Maybe. But I don't know. I just feel like, guys, nobody's going to win against Holly or Mickey if you let them skate their way to the final two. You got, instead of making deals with them, and I know you got to make deals to get your, if you feel like you're on the losing end of the stick anyway, you're like, well, I got to make deals to cling on. But clinging on, you're not going to win the $500,000 or whatever it is. You're going to cling on and then, you know, the jury's not going to vote for you to win. So
you're going to find yourself in a room full of tribbles.
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh. I mean, I'm never going to be on Big Brother, so we'll never know. But I feel like at this point I would be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm screw these deals. If I get voted out, whatever. I'm going to try to swing. You know, because if I go with them, I'm not going to win anyway. So, you know, I got to do something. And Tommy giving up. I mean, who knows? Maybe Mickey would have won anyway. But I was so irritated that he gave up. I really was. There. Thank you.
Okay, well, just to end it off, I think that I would be playing the same kind of game that Nick was playing, where he was making deals with everybody or being everybody's friend and kind of trying to play under the radar until he got called out on Taco Tuesday. And I think it's a shame because I think probably Nick could have done quite well if it wasn't for Christy.
Possibly, yeah.
So that just means she better win.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. So do we have Alex, did you
no
say
no spoilers
something?
Tonight? No spoilers tonight, I guess.
I can give you just a very brief recap. I mean, I am not prepared to give you in-depth spoilers, but I can at least tell you about who won the veto. Oh, yeah, but we can skip it if you'd rather.
I don't need to know, but I can sign off and say goodnight, gentlemen. So
I don't want to know.
I'm not sure anybody
ruined it.
Okay.
It does. I will say this. I got it, but it does ruin the episode for me. I'm sitting there watching the episode and I already know what happens. So So we'll just do this then, since Fatty's not here. Oh, that is the wrong. That is not even right. I'm ending my other show. Wait a minute. I'm gonna do this.
You do another show?
I do. But
zing.
Anyway, so I don't know. So we'll go without spoilers this week. But we will. I will bring up the game really quick. So I did mention that. Wah wah. My team is completely gone. So next time I'm going to make a list of the players that I hate the most. And this goes for Survivor. This goes for Big Brother, whatever. Because the ones that I hate the most are always the ones that end up either going the farthest or winning the thing. So I should have just, nobody wanted Mickey. I should have just put him on my team. I should have put him on my team because I hated him. But anyway, my team's gone. So right now in the lead, we have Fatty, who still has all three of his team members. He's got Nicole, Jessica, and Holly. We'll see if this week he loses one of them. He's got 85 points. I am now stuck at 45 points because Nick is gone, Kat's gone, and Elise is gone. Moose is at 45 points, but he's still He's still in there because he's got Cliff. And then Alex, you skated past me. You've got 45 points, but you've still got Christy. Chris is right behind Fatty with 80 points.
Thank you.
He has Tommy and Jessica. And then Faye has 45.
Thank you.
And he's got Holly still. So that's where we're at as of this week.
Thank you.
And all right. So, Chris, where can you be reached?
I can't. Thank you.
You mentioned earlier about whoever follows you on Twitter, but you won't get any more Twitter followers if you never mention.
I protect my tweets anyway, but if anybody wants to send me a follower request, it's Asgardian2.
And because he guards his ass. And then, Faye, where can you be reached?
I just recorded an episode today. You can find me at www.pinkwheelnuts.com.
And Alex, where can you be reached?
I'm at alexlefebvremusic.com.
All right. Well, I can be reached geekygay.com. You can also find us at butfirstpodcast.com. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly podcasts at pride48.com. And for now, from outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam Burns Moonves. Have a good night, everyone. Night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.